The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, I am Avra Lewis with the North Carolina Reading Service, and for the next half hour, I will be reading to you from Essence Magazine. The first article is titled Hormonal Heroes. Menopause is rarely researched and barely discussed, especially in the beauty industry. So you may not be aware that a bloom of effective solutions to its myriad symptoms has recently emerged. Topical titans. Women over 50 have more than $15 trillion in purchasing power, and they are the healthiest, wealthiest, and most active generation in history, says Michelle Jacobs, co-founder of Womeness, a line of products to address everything from dry skin to incontinence to hot flashes to vaginal dryness. Adds co-founder Sally Mueller, as women in our 40s and 50s, not only did we have the market research backgrounds to do this, they spent their careers launching and growing some of the world's most popular lifestyle brands like Target, Real Simple, and Home Shopping Network. But we were in the market. Son Soles Gonzalez, founder and CEO of Better Not Younger, strongly agrees. Hormonal-based beauty has come as the result of a perfect storm, she says. There are over 62 million women over 50, and this demographic is being recognized as the rising super consumer. These women are highly involved in beauty, and they want their needs around hormonal changes met. In addition to hot flashes, menopause can bring a rapid loss of collagen and elasticity in the skin, as well as lack of moisture. The results range from a tired-looking complexion to dark spots to crepey skin to vaginal dryness. Rochelle understood all too well who the beauty industry was neglecting. She created Pause Well Aging to address physiological skin changes. Legacy beauty brands focus on anti-aging, but not on hormonal shifts, she says. We address the pain points caused by menopause, rather just filling gaps in a skin care routine. Celeste Lee and Lori King, also beauty industry vets, founded the skincare line Care Beauty. Hormonal decline directly impacts basic skin cell regeneration, says Lee. When we realized why we and our friends suddenly had eye bags, forehead and lines, and drooping jaw lines, we realized we had the opportunity to be change makers. Dermatologist Zenobia Gabriel, MD, homed in on hormones via her practice. After treating thousands of women, she realized that a majority of her patients sought treatment during key hormonal stages. This discovery led to years of research and clinical trials, the result pioneering hormonal dermatology and her namesake brand, Dr. Zenobia Skincare, dedicated to hormonal skin imbalances. Although skincare brands Suki and Face didn't initially create products around menopause, both companies found this focus to be a natural progression. Women's health issues seem to me to be deprioritized, says Jasmine Wicks Stevens, founder of Face. Our Face period mask is a bestseller, so the latest mask, menopause, was a no-brainer. There's a feminist element to these women initiated hormonally based lines. Suki, initially formulated for the 35-plus woman, also evolved into formulas for menopausal skin with amazing clinical results. You have to address the real changes happening in women's bodies, says Suki, vice Vice President of Brand Marketing and Development. Tiffany Kurtz, loss of estrogen and collagen happen at a rapid rate, so skin issues are beyond fine lines and wrinkles. Last but not least is Rosebud Woman, an OBGYN endorsed line for vaginal skin. Women's intimate skin changes as our reproductive years come to an end, says Christian Mason, Rosebud Woman's founder. Their honor, everyday balm addresses the thinning and more permeable skin of the vulva, vestibule, and vagina. We're entering a new time where women's biology and cycles are being honored, investigated, and considered in a new way, Mason says. Our hormonal profile isn't the same every day. These fluctuations show up in our skin. We already track heart rates, activity, sleep. It's only a matter of time before we track hormonal levels, which will allow for the right product on the right day. The next article is titled Wigging Out, Exploring One of Our Crowning Glory's Most Versatile Phenomenons. Wig culture didn't evolve overnight. What was once an expression of royalty and high status has since developed into a booming industry dominated by hand and machine crafted hair pieces. Now more commonplace than ever, wigs are intended to make us feel as good as we look, while protecting our own hair in the process. Wigs can be traced back to ancient Egypt, where they served both as a style choice and as a means of protecting wearers against the harsh sun. Since then, they have evolved into an art form that combines creativity and precision. They shift the culture by encouraging a kind of inclusivity that welcomes us to become any version of ourselves we want to explore. In addition to being an aesthetic expression, however, wigs can also improve hair health. While traditional weaving methods and other styles can cause tension to the scalp and hair follicles, often resulting in traction alopecia, which is hair loss caused by repeatedly pulling on your hair, wigs allow a time out from stress to our strands, helping wearers avoid stunted hair growth. In the entertainment industry, in particular, every inch and bundle of hair tells a story, and hairstyles have birthed some of history's most notable looks. Tina Turner's legendary spiked do became her career-defining style, and I'm Every Woman singer Chaka Khan's big, bold, kinky curls led her to launching a limited-time collaboration with NDQ Hair, Nicki Minaj two-toned wig with Chinese bangs circa 2010 helped birth an era of barb hair pieces, while television viewers continue tuning into Bravo's The Real Housewives of Atlanta with anticipation of what wig they might tweet about next. For every buzzed about look and celebrity wig that slays, there's a hard-working stylist honing their craft and coming up with innovations beyond what the average eye can see. That said, even the most historic of wig styles can be recreated or applied at home. Essence spoke with celebrity hairstylist Jared J. Stay Ready Henderson and Tevin Washington to bring you the scoop on their favorite hairpiece looks. Our experts also offered some tips for slaying a wig on your own. Step 1, choose your wig type. This is where things get pretty interesting. Depending on the look you're hoping to achieve, the length, shape, and make of the wig will vary. When deciding whether you want to rock a full wig with no leave out, a U-part wig with minimal leave out, or a frontal closure or lace wig to fully protect your natural hair, helps if you understand your options. A frontal is just the piece of the wig, explains Jay Stay Ready. A lace front is an actual lace front hairpiece with tracks in the back. A full lace wig is when the whole wig is lace, instead of it being just frontal from ear to ear and 4 inches apart. You can part it and style it anywhere because there are no tracks. Step 2. Prepare for application. Once you have pinned down your ideal look, it's time for wig prep. If you are using a full frontal closure or lace wig, you'll need a few things. According to Washington, powder bleach, a wig cap, and a gel or glue type material to mold your wig down to your head. Powder bleach, like BW2, quick blue, or quick white, can get your lace closer to your skin complexion. He says simply, apply this directly to your lace and leave it on until the lace has turned the color of your scalp. Then you'll need a wig cap and tweezers to pluck the hairline so it looks more natural, he says. From there, gather a gel such as Got to Be and Intense Hold Hairspray or wig glue. That's what you're going to use to put your cap down. Step 3. Lay your wig down. Once you're ready, adjust your wig cap and clean the area of application with mild alcohol or witch hazel. Then, when it's dried, lay your wig precisely above the wig cap line and above your baby hairs to minimize friction and breakage. Apply your glue. Hold spray or gel above the lining of your wig cap until dried. You can use a hair dryer to speed up the process. After you apply your wig, use a scarf or wig band to secure your wig while it dries. Don't forget to care for your natural hair underneath your wig. You want to make sure there's as little tension on your hair as possible and that your hair is adequately moisturized, says Washington. Also, make sure you take that wig off every couple of days. Step 4. Style and slay. Bring out the hot comb, flat iron, curling iron, and crimper. Depending on the type of hair weaved into your wig, straight, curly, water wave, and so on, you are now ready to style to your liking. Use a hot comb or some other hot surface, such as a curling wand, to straighten and lay flat the hair at the crown of your head. Part your hair and style as desired. Then get ready to slay. Professional tip, don't forget the baby hairs. Swooping baby hairs is so easy, says Washington. Once you get the edges curled, what you do is take a spritz of setting foam or holding spray and spray it into the baby hair bridge. Then you can go in and just smooth those curls down. With an edge brush or toothbrush, for example, it's the easiest way to style your baby hairs just how you want them to be. Tevin Washington's advice for keeping your wigs intact after every use. If you don't comb your natural hair for weeks at a time and is just up in a bun, when you take it down, it's going to be a mess. It's the same with wigs. You want to make sure that you always keep the hair up and keep the hair well. Keeping a wig installed over 3 weeks is too long because that glue is now starting to get really gunky in the lace, and it will be harder to get out once you take it off. Store it on your mannequin head. That way, it's somewhere safe. Jay Stays Ready, favorite celebrity client look. Doja Cat's crescent-shaped baby hairs. I did it for the first time when we were doing the Kiss Me More music video. It was intentional, but it wasn't intentional. I was doing her baby hair for her wig, and I had the one random hair, and I didn't know where to place it. So I just kind of curved it in. I was thinking, this is so cool. I did it on all hairstyles in that video. And then I just carried it on throughout everything that we've done in this era. The tools. Behold, some must-haves for an ultra-laid wig. J stays ready. Go to adhesive lace grip. Tweezers for light plucking along the hairline. Keep the application area clean with Dickinson's Witch Hazel. The next article is titled Evolving Identities. NFL Network reporter MJ Acosta Ruiz on embracing her Afro-Latina roots. The Dominican American sportscaster's hair evolution has played out in front of the camera for millions to see. For Acosta Ruiz, embracing her Black roots inspired a journey to healthy, thriving, spotlight ready curls. My family moved around quite a bit. I was born in Miami, but literally 3 weeks later, we went right back to the Dominican Republic. When I was three, we relocated to Washington Heights in New York City, and all my formative years were spent there. Then, when I was in high school, my mom wanted more stability and for us to have more opportunities. So we moved again back to Miami. Throughout those years, everything we were conditioned to think of as beautiful and the qualities we were taught would make us more successful were Eurocentric. I was maybe 9 or 10 when I got my hair relaxed. It was a rite of passage. Everyone was like, oh, look at you. However, whenever I went back to wearing it natural, then it was, you didn't brush your hair today? I knew it wasn't coming from a place of malice and that they just wanted me to be what they thought was presentable. But it was so contradictory because none of us looked like that naturally. Why am I taking half of my Saturday in the salon straightening my hair when I could just work with what's growing out of my head? Then there was the anti-Blackness within the Latino community. I was frequently told, don't stay out in the sun too long. So it was always this tug and pull over what I inherently felt just didn't make sense and what my family was teaching me. I was very much struggling with an identity crisis up until my 30s. I was still trying to fit into this box of what society and even my own culture insisted was beautiful. I never actually wanted to be of a lighter complexion, but it was definitely made clear to me that because I was on the darker end of the color spectrum, comparatively speaking, there would be fewer opportunities for me. It was like, yeah, you're cute, but look at you. All the actresses we saw on television, specifically on Spanish language shows, were very, very light-skinned with light eyes and straight hair. I would watch the screen thinking, we speak the same language, the culture and the upbringing is clearly the same, but none of these people look like me. It was really confusing and upsetting. Outside of the great Celia Cruz, who was boisterous, beautiful, and confident, and commanded attention, the Afro-Latinas I looked up to were my family members, my aunts and cousins who had beautiful, deep, silky skin were goddesses in my eyes. And yet I often wondered, well, am I ever going to have big opportunities? Even as an adult dating people from the Latino community, their families would often be racist toward me, making comments alluding to the fact that our kids would be too dark or their hair would be too kinky. It really wasn't until I got older and figured out that I wanted a career in media that I became more aware of my identity. I'd watch Sage Steele, Lisa Salters, and other Black women in broadcast journalism, and they were really inspiring me to push forward toward my dreams. I wanted wondered why I was connecting with them so deeply. Then I realized it was because my own culture had erased our Black roots. I finally understood that I'm a Black woman, and it's such a crazy thing to say, right? Looking at me, you'd think that it was easy to claim that. But culturally, there's been so much deprogramming I've had to go through to erase generational trauma around being Black. It took a long time for me to identify as such. Yes, I am a Black woman. I am a Latino woman, and the two are not mutually exclusive. It's been so empowering and so freeing to fully embrace that. My view of what was and is beautiful has not changed, but my comfort with presenting that to the world has changed entirely. I have taken on a more unapologetic tone, because why should we apologize for what we look like and who we are? I also know how important it is to be a positive role model for the next generation. I have a niece with beautiful brown skin and curly hair, and I don't want her for one second to ever feel as if she's less than. I will fight tooth and nail to make sure that her environment is encouraging and supportive, and to make sure she knows that every coil and every little inch of that melanin deserves loving attention and applause. The next article is titled, Aaliyah More Than a Woman. 20 years after her tragic death, fans and celebs still look to the singer for inspiration. In her brief 7 years as a recording artist, Aaliyah left a lasting legacy. Aaliyah emerged as a star in 1994 at the age of 14, but her second album, 1996's One in a Million, made it clear that she was in a class of her own. Whether clad in leather while lying atop a vintage convertible, reclining on the iron throne of some subterranean hideaway, or slinking along to Timbaland's hypnotic syncopation in an all-white room, Aaliyah had an incomparable allure. She became an icon by daring to push past the norm, and in the 20 years since her tragic death, the singer and actress's influence has become ubiquitous, proving that she was always light years ahead of the rest of us. She was beautiful and polished in her presentation, says Chrissy Murray, her former publicist at Atlantic Records. She was a tomboy with this cool, feminine sex appeal. There was just something about this girl, but what I liked most about her professionally was that she came prepared. She knew what she wanted. Unafraid to experiment, Aaliyah refined her style throughout her career. Even her famous tomboy aesthetic went through several phases, from the leather cameo pants and different color Clark's Wallabies she wore in the Hot Like Fire video, to the snakeskin sweatsuit seen in the visuals for Back in One Piece. Aaliyah could pull off a sci-fi heroine look, then glam it up with a crystal choker accentuated by full face makeup, the latter of which would inspire a posthumous MAC Cosmetics collection in 2018. She was the kind of girl who had to live it, feel it, and be it, says Derek Lee, who began studying Aaliyah in 1996. She couldn't just throw it on because it wouldn't translate. Yet, even as her style matured, as with the Tiger Prince Roberto Cavallari dress she wore to the 2000 MTV Video Music Awards, which modeled Paloma Alessia recently paid homage to, it always appeared effortless. She was that slightly unconventional pretty girl, but without trying so hard, Lee says. That down-for-whatever spirit extended to Aaliyah's music. Her work with Missy Elliott, Timbaland, and Static Major propelled every aspect of her career forward, welding hip-hop and R&B in an eccentric fashion leading up up to the millennium. The foundation for Elliot's path to virtuosistic artists is built on her work with Aaliyah, who also breathed life into some of Timbaland's most abstract compositions. To this day, nothing is more ambitious than Are You That Somebody, featuring Aaliyah's soft soprano gliding over an off-kilter drum and bass combination, and of all things, a sampled baby coon. Years after blazing trails creatively, the 5-time Grammy Award nominee and 3-time American Music Award winner has birthed creative daughters and sons. Look at Sid the Kid, Kalia, Tanisha, FKA Twigs, Sierra, even Drake. And there has been no shortage of covers, samples, and tributes from contemporary artists inspired by her overture, even as the bulk of her discography remains absent from streaming and digital platforms. Aaliyah and her artistry live on as a symbol of perseverance. As one of R. Kelly's alleged victims, she survived an industry that forces young women to grow up fast while infantilizing and excusing the men accused of exploiting them. But Aaliyah has never been the sum of her trauma. Rather, she sees autonomy in her life, taking control of her sound, look, and image. Now you have your younger women who are like, yo, I can do this, Murray says, attributing their confidence to the example set by Aaliyah. Her boldness is very appealing to women. In the past decade, Aaliyah's image has become a favorite across social media. Even from the afterlife, she's captivating audiences that now include people who didn't grow up hearing her music in the moment. The love that your mom, auntie, or older sister or brother had for her is passed down to younger people who are curious, Murray says. Aaliyah's contributions represent a huge swatch of modern pop culture's fabric. She is more than a woman in that sense. She was the future, and now she is everywhere. The next article is titled, Drink It In. Actress and activist Gabrielle Union leaves no truth untold in her follow-up to 2017's best-selling We're Going to Need More Wine. Shot through with humor, candor, and vulnerability, You Got Anything Stronger is not a celeb tell-all, but a reminder that celebrities really are just like us, complete with the trauma, the self-doubt, and the instinct to hide those underbellies that feel particularly soft and tender. Union writes about the life-changing diagnosis that led her to surrogacy as a path to motherhood, the impact of cracking open her family's life for all to see, and how she discovered who she is beyond others' projections. As you read the stories she wasn't quite ready to share in her first book, you'll linger over the pages so you can sit longer with the star. She makes you wish she were your best friend, her number saved in your favorites, a kindred spirit always ready to share real talk over a round of shots. Well, we have run out of time for today's episode of Essence. We hope you enjoyed it and be sure to listen next time. I am Avra Lewis, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Essence is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call us at 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.